Blog Talk Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there is a better way to work.
Hi, hello, welcome. Show 16 of Engage for Success radio show, podcast show, being broadcast on Monday the 15th of April. And once again, you're with me, John Ingham. I'm a strategic people management consultant, blogging at strategichcm, strategic-hcm.blogspot.com, if you want to find out anything more about me. And one of the things that I consult and blog and train around is employee engagement. I'm a big supporter of the Engage for Success movement, which this radio show is associated, linked with. And I'm one of the irregular hosts of this show. And today we're going to be talking about allowing, maybe even encouraging failure. I'll explain more about that very shortly. But first, just a little bit of background about Engage for Success, if you've not come across the movement for employee engagement. And I will be giving out some URLs and telephone numbers as well. So particularly if you are listening live and you would like to call into the show, you might want to grab a pen and a piece of paper. So, yes, Engage for Success. The movement for employee engagement, UK-based, but with relevance globally, so we don't mind too much if you want to call in from elsewhere in the world. And if you want to find out more about the movement, probably the best place to do so. The movement is lots and lots of places, Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and all the places that you might expect. But the website is engageforsuccess.org, definitely worth checking out. And if you're not listening live, if you're picking this up on iTunes or elsewhere, you can listen live. We do broadcast at 4 o'clock every Monday afternoon, and you can find the show at www.blogtalkradio.com/engage-for-success. We also have a back channel going on Google+. That's just in case you're feeling a little bit shy and don't want to join in on the call itself. You can chat to us. If you've not been on Google+, it's really simple. Just go to plus.google.com. You will need to register if you're not already there, although it only takes a Gmail address if you've got that already. Do a search in the bar at the top for employee engagement or Engage for Success. You will find us. And then go to events on the left-hand side. Honestly, it sounds more difficult than it is. And you will go to our events page where you will find our show back channel, Allowing Staff to Fail. We may have a little conversation there. And hello, Joe. Joe Moffat, who I understand is also going to be one of our irregular hosts, is hanging on in there as we speak. Dial-in number, yes. So if you do want to call in, I'd be delighted to have you on the show. I do get so bored on my own, as do all you listeners. Although, actually, we do have a guest already lined up as well. I might as well just mention now. We are going to be joined very shortly by Dave Gill. Dave is the assistant principal at Telford College of Arts and Technology. And actually, you know, we do make this offer frequently on the show and elsewhere, that if you want to come on the show, talk about employee engagement, your ideas, your experiences, you know, we'd be delighted to have you on. And Dave actually took us up on that offer and got in touch with us on the Engage for Success LinkedIn group and said, hi, I'd like to come on. So Dave will be on very shortly. Yes, so if you want to call in, and talk about your experience or thoughts on making mistakes, perhaps, or anything else, or you want to talk to Dave about his approach, the number to call in on is +1 or 001, so it's a US number, basically, 347-237-4274. Right, I think that's probably all the preliminaries out of the way. Yes. So, before we get into making mistakes, which is the main theme of today, One of the things that we like to do with this show is to help point you to other conversations going on. Those are conversations about employee engagement. You know, the movement is here to support engagement, not just to support the movement. So these aren't updates about the movement necessarily, but just updates about engagement, what people are saying and thinking. And normally we do put news reviews up on the website, but there's nothing there as yet this week. I presume that as soon as we're back to normal after the school holidays, we'll be posting some of those reviews up there again, which are always good value, always really useful. But as I was saying before, we do have a Twitter feed as well, and some really interesting articles being pointed out over Twitter this week. The Change Effect blog, for example, change-effect.com, a blog written by HR Director Neil Morrison. Nobody wants to be engaged, calling engagement into a little bit of question, which, you know, we don't mind. In fact, there was one comment on there which is suggesting that dismissing, arguing, challenging engagement is unhelpful. I must admit, I'm not so sure it is, because... in fact, I also posted this week on my blog, so strategic-hcm.blogspot.com, a post about the new rules of engagement, I called it, where I was suggesting that one of those new rules is that we need to be much more tolerant, accepting and even encouraging of criticism. And, you know, gave the example of Jeremy Hunt, for example, you know, who's now saying that whereas people in the NHS used to think that criticism was sort of anti the culture and spirit of the NHS, actually the opposite is true. You know, we need to open up and encourage criticism, which I suppose will link into the conversation we'll be having about mistakes very shortly. So I actually think, you know, well done, Neil. Yeah, good challenge. Very interesting, very well written argument article as usual. Completely wrong-headed as usual as well, but, you know, that's just my perspective. For me, I don't mind what we call this. I don't think anybody does, do you? Whether you want to call it engagement or good management, you know, the fact is that we need to do more of it. I personally prefer wellness. Oh, in fact, there was another good article which I also came across through Engage for Success's Twitter feed on Robertson Cooper's blog, which is called Is the Business Climate Damaging Employee Engagement Brand? Suggesting that in hard economic circumstances, organisations find it more difficult to do engagement, which I think is probably true, and suggesting that wellness is probably a more useful concept than engagement. And actually, you know, if you look hard enough in my own blog, you know, I've said pretty much the same thing in the past myself. I do think, you know, engagement suffers, perhaps, because it tends not to be seen as a very engaging word, which is a shame. So, you know, call it what you want, but, you know, the idea within the movement that we need to do much more of it, we need to encourage those organisations which aren't doing it to invest more in their people, you know, absolutely spot on. So, a couple of interesting links there anyway, and do keep an eye on the updates that, as I said, normally go on the engageforsuccess.org website. So, failure, mistakes. Let's move on to our main theme of the day. And why? Why are we talking about this? Well, I'm not quite sure how interesting this is going to be, actually, but let me explain. We've already done a show on engaging managers, which is one of the four enablers that Engage for Success has identified lie behind the employee engagement agenda. And I've sort of been thinking over the last week that I wanted to get more into the detail about what this engaging managers idea means and what are the behaviours that managers should be demonstrating to engage. And then the other thing is we, or at least I, when I do these shows every now and again, like to focus on something topical. And I suppose one of the things which is a big news item in the UK, at least, debatable whether it should be, but let's accept that it is Margaret Thatcher's passing away and funeral later this week. And I'm sure there should be something that we can do around Margaret Thatcher and engagement, because she certainly does inspire the passions, both pro and con. But I have had a busy week this week, actually, and trying to think through and come up with something sensible to talk about connected to Margaret Thatcher and employee engagement it was just beyond me this week. But if you've got any good ideas, do call in and suggest a blog post or send me a tweet or something. I'm at Johnning, I'm on Twitter. And if you can suggest a good post subject, then I may well post on it, because I must admit I've sort of been thinking everybody else has posted on Margaret Thatcher and I've not, so I sort of thought I should have been. But anyway, rambling, I'm afraid. So what was I thought? Oh yeah, Margaret Thatcher and engagement. So I couldn't think of a show connected to that. But then one of the other blogs that I quite often read is called Stumbling and Mumbling, stumblingandmumbling.typepad.com. And there was a post up there called Thatcher Successful Failure, sort of talking about, you know, well, in the summary of this post, that she did a lot of good for the UK. But it was interesting because a lot of the good that she managed to deliver wasn't what she'd set out to do. They were sort of successful accidents. They're examples of what John Kay writes about in his book Obliquity, for example, that you often end up achieving the best outcomes by focusing on different things. Yeah, happiness, another alternative to engagement, potentially. Often quoted as a common oblique outcome. The best way to achieve happiness isn't to set out to be happy. You need to focus on something you enjoy doing, and happiness is then an oblique or a supplementary, useful byproduct of sort of what you do. But anyway, that got me thinking. I said this might not be interesting, but I've nearly finished. That got me thinking about failure, mistakes, and I thought, oh, that might be the hook that I could use to go into a bit more detail about what this engaging manager behaviour might look like. and then we signed up Dave to come on the show. When Dave joins us, he's going to be talking about his overall perspective, belief, approach to engaging employees. And not just, actually, not just accepting risks and mistakes, although that's certainly part of it. So I sort of saw that connection and I thought, well, that might be a good theme. So before we put Dave on, and I must admit, we haven't got Dave on the line yet. So, Dave, you might want to dial in because I'll be getting you to talk in a couple of minutes if you do. So quick intro to the subject from my own perspective. Failure. There is a book about this, by the way. It's not a book that I've read as yet, but it is on my reading list and hope to get around to someday, and may even blog on when I do. It's a book by the FT columnist, Tim Harford, published last year, called Adapt, Why Success Always Starts with Failure. And Harford suggests, a little bit like the Margaret Thatcher story, that many successful examples span from errors and misjudgments and problems. And the key, therefore, is to learn from those, which is something that we often don't like to do. You know, we tend to gloss over the failures rather than to reflect on them. You know, the US Army after action review type process to ensure that we're extracting all of the learnings from those failures, and therefore we don't make the same sort of mistakes a second time. So as I said, I've not read the book, but if you're interested in this topic, I'm sure that would be a good place to go. My very short three bullet point summary of the topic is probably simply, if we don't allow people to fail, we're not actually empowering them to take responsibility. You know, part of empowerment has to be the opportunity to succeed or fail. If they don't have that opportunity, they are not empowered. And heaps of evidence, which we've already talked about on this show, that if they're not empowered, then they're much less likely to be engaged. Second bullet point, if failures are checked through a quality assurance process, which I think is sort of the next thing that organisations try to do. We'll empower people, we'll let them do what they need to do, but just before it goes live, we'll run a QA process. And, you know, in case it was going to fail, we'll catch it, we'll make sure it doesn't. And clearly there's a lot of sort of context and stuff behind all of this. And I think there may well be reasons in some situations why that might be appropriate. The downside is that if people know that QA process is coming along, they're still much less likely to take full responsibility. You know, because they know they don't need to ensure this thing works because the QA process is going to catch it if it doesn't. And then my third bullet point would be about innovation, you know, which is obviously increasing importance. More and more organisations saying innovation is one of their key capabilities. And by the way, a lot going on at the moment around engagement and innovation. Those links, you'll find out more about that on You Know Where. And, you know, innovation absolutely depends on that opportunity to fail. You know, a lot of organisations talking about successes occurring sort of 1% of the time. And obviously it's important to try to increase that ratio, but if you never fail, you're never going to get to that 1% or that 5% or even 10% success. So I don't know, there's a lot being talked about these days about encouraging or even rewarding failure. And I think that is interesting, isn't it? Because I'm not sure you would necessarily want to do that. I suppose it partly depends on what type of failure we're talking about as well. So Charles Schwab, for example, always make they distinguish between noble failure and stupid failure. So you clearly don't want to pay for stupid failure or encourage stupid failure. But if it's a noble failure, if someone set themselves a really stretching, meaty, horrible goal to try to overcome, and they've not quite managed to do it, you know, that's absolutely something that they should get rewarded for, would be my belief. So, yeah, absolutely. As innovation becomes more important, so does the, not necessarily the failure, but the tolerance, the acceptance, and potentially encouragement of some types of failure in organisations. There's a wonderful example of this, which you may well know, because it's a very commonly told little tale about Google. And by the way, I mean Google, fabulous example of all of this, that have this sort of idea of the power of 10. And I think it's Larry Page who suggests that whereas most companies try to improve products or services by sort of 10%, actually that doesn't do an awful lot. It doesn't really distinguish what you're trying to do from other organisations. It may not even be that much of an engaging goal for employees either. But it's comfortable, it's safe. It means you probably won't fail spectacularly, but you're guaranteed not to success wildly as well, which I think is absolutely true. You know, you need those big, stretching, meaty goals that I was talking about before. So Page talks about trying to create products and services at not just 10%, but 10 times better than the competition. But if you're going to do that, you've got to accept that most of the time you probably won't get there. You won't get to that result. But anyway, the story I was going to tell you, just in case you've not come across this in the past, Sheryl Sandberg, who had been a VP in an area of Google, can't remember where, who was talking to Larry Page about an error that she'd committed she'd understood was going to cost Google several million dollars. So you can imagine, you know, what it's like going in to see the boss of the organisation once you've made that sort of mistake. And I, you know, whether this is totally real or a little bit apocryphal, I don't know. But it's a wonderful story, and I think the fact that it's simply the fact that the story is told rather than necessarily the truth of the story, which is so important. And the story is that after she'd apologised to Paige, his response was something along the lines of, "I'm so glad you made this mistake because it's important for me that we're running a company where people are moving too quickly, doing too much." And therefore, we will make mistakes, and we're not being too cautious and doing too little. If we don't have any mistakes, we're just not taking enough risk. A wonderful, wonderful story about the power of error and mistakes in organisations. And actually, just thinking about the fourth bullet point, maybe, would just be about creating an engaging environment. Unless you accept that staff are going to make mistakes and fail over time, they're never going to feel trusted by the organisation. And I think that lack of trust or lack of perceived trust, and potentially sort of coupled with providing them headroom, room to grow and develop and carry on setting more and more bigger stretching goals. I think unless you do that, it is going to have a direct negative consequences on engagement as well. So, where are we? Well, we've got 10 minutes to go, and we have not had Dave Gill on the line. So, if you are listening. Particularly if you thought any of that was interesting, you've got your own perspectives on errors and mistakes and failure, you have some experience personally of having made mistakes. Joe, if you're Joe Moffat, if you're on the line or have the opportunity to get on the line as well as on the back channel, give us a call. Why not? Be good to hear from you. Let us know about your mistakes. This is mine, by the way. This is my mistake. Certainly what it used to be. Well, you'll arrive at your own judgments about how effective a host I am, although the evidence of being able to get people on the line is clearly against me. I don't know. I have no problem expressing my ideas. I've been blogging for coming up to 6 years now, actually. I love, and I think I'm getting reasonably good at speaking and training these days, but I hate this, sitting with a computer, pushing buttons to try and make things work. I find it really, really awkward and uncomfortable. And actually going back far too long to think about, when I was at university, I was a DJ for Imperial College Radio, and I was the worst DJ ever. Absolutely, I just could not play a single record without making an error. And that's why I do this. Firstly, I do this because I believe I support the perspectives, principles, aims of Engage for Success, and I'm pleased to play a part in supporting it. But I hate doing podcasts, and that's why I do it. Is that connected to this? I think so, isn't it? What's Joe saying? Joe's on the back channel. When you talk about failure in the context of taking risk and moving too fast, etc., as per your Google example, then I'd say that's all fine and dandy. Of course, the downside to that is failure as a result of carelessness, poor skill levels, etc., and that's a different story, I'd say. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that's sort of what Charles Schwab is saying when they make that separation between noble failure and stupid failure, maybe. So absolutely. And health warning, to make sure that the Engage Success movement doesn't get sued by anybody, do not go away and implement a reward scheme in your organisation to encourage everyone to make mistakes. That would be a stupid mistake, wouldn't it? Fairly obviously. So that isn't what this is about. Anyway, we're at 5 minutes to go. So we're obviously not going to hear from Dave Gill this time. Or are we? Somebody's on the line. Hey, here we go. Right, I need just to click that button there. Hello, who's on the line?
Hello, John. It's not Dave Gill, as you can probably tell from the female voice, but it is Joe Moffat.
Hello, Joe. Thank you.
I thought I'd phone in and help you in the last few minutes if you feel like a chat.
And I've been thinking we should have a chat anyway, because was I right in my earlier comment that you are going to be doing some of this as well?
Yes. I'll give myself a little plug now for next Monday afternoon. I'm going to be hosting the show number 17, and we've got a chap on board called Dr. Ian Dodds of Ian Dodds Consulting, and he's going to be talking about the importance of inclusivity and diversity as a vital part of the whole employee engagement story. So, yes, I'm having my baptism of fire next Monday afternoon. So, I've been hoping that I don't have the same experience as you've had this afternoon.
It's not honestly half an hour goes so quick. I mean, it's the challenge actually when you have a guest, a caller. There's so little time to talk about anything else. So half an hour, it just flies, as you can tell.
Absolutely. So I think you've done a marvellous job. So yes, I'm looking forward to it. And then I'll sort of be an occasional host as and when the schedule progresses, really. Mm. So looking forward to it.
Wonderful. I look forward to listening to that next week. So Ian Dodds, but no Joe Dodds next week.
Joe Dodds, for our
listeners, is obviously our regular host.
Yes. We had a very complicated conference call this morning, actually, with Joe Dodds.
Oh, okay.
And Ian Dodds and Joe Moffat. So there was a sort of triangle of first names and surnames, which got everybody rather confused. But I think we got there in the end. So,
I can see that. I can see that possibility. All right. We've already had your comment on making mistakes. Unless you've got anything else to add to my rambling.
No, not really. I would say actually that I was a little bit tongue in cheek there, really, because I absolutely agree with the need to make mistakes. If you're not making mistakes, then you're not trying new things. And in the sort of industry that I'm in, it's all about innovation and creativity. And that you can absolutely kill creativity stone dead if people are scared of making a mistake. If our creative department come up with ideas which they think they're going to get jumped on for daring to come up with something radical and something different, then work becomes boring and staid and doesn't achieve the results you want. The clients don't buy it. So you've got to create an environment where people feel that they can try new things. And it's a horrible cliche to say that if you do what you've always got done, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you'll always get.
It's a cliche because it's bloody true.
Yeah. So, whoops. Sorry, that's one thing I better make sure I'm a bit more careful with my language when I'm on the radio next week. That's absolutely the case. But there is a world of difference between what you were describing as noble failure and ignoble failure, really. So that was all I wanted to say.
I appreciate you saying that, Jo. And wonderful to introduce ourselves.
Thank you. Look forward to talking again in future shows.
Absolutely. I think I'm supposed to be at home next Monday. So Monday, 4 o'clock, 22nd of April, Jo Moffat and Ian Dodds, engagement and inclusivity. Is that?
Inclusivity and diversity, absolutely. Great, thanks very much,
Lyndon. Yeah, brilliant. Cheers, Jo. Thanks for calling in.
That's okay, bye.
So, what else? Well, look, we just had a quick look forward to the show next week. What else is on? Loads of stuff, as normal, taking place under the Engage for Success auspices, or at least being advertised on the site. Now, if you're listening live and you've got time tomorrow, as if anybody ever has, symposium events are running their Employee Engagement Summit. I do a lot of work with the symposium, wonderful organisation, and I'm sure the conference will go well tomorrow as well. It is only half past four, so if you've got tomorrow free, give them a call, get involved, go along. And the heads, the leaders, the founders of the Engage for Success movement, David McLeod and Nita Clark, will be talking there as well. Of course they are. I mean, you can't go anywhere to talk about engagement without David and Nita, as if. What else? If you're in Wiltshire, then tomorrow there's going to be a Wiltshire Network meeting talking about engagement and innovation. See, I said there was a lot going on about that. And Yes, on Wednesday. This is one definitely not to miss. 11 till 12 o'clock. That's British summertime. There is going to be one of our regular masterclass calls focusing on integrity and leadership and engagement. Integrity being one of the other four enablers. It's going to be led by Stephen Dando, ex-Thomson Reuters, and you'll find out more about that, as well as loads of other things on the site, engagefor success.org. Right, well, if you've made it to the end, well done. Thank you for sticking with me, and do join Joe next week. Until then, take care.